Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, it's a Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope your bracket is still intact. I doubt it, though. Lots of upsets.
Mine's holding strong.
Really? Okay.
I've got three of my four Final Four teams still alive.
Oh.
Which, okay. Does anybody have all four of theirs left? Pretty tough.
I lost my champion in the first round.
Oh, that kills everything.
I had Purdue.
Oh, Purdue. How can you really be that mad, though?
No.
I mean, if you're going to have your bracket lose, don't you want it to lose on a 16 beating a 1?
I say all the time, I actually root for chaos more than my bracket. I like it. I like those things happening. Now, as you get later, I will be honest, I love early round upsets, right? Like, if you're a 1 or a 2 lose, like, yeah, that's incredible. Look at that. But then you get to the Sweet 16, you got like a 12 against a 13. Like, I kind of would rather see some better teams here, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Right? So, it is nice in the moment when it happens, but then you're like kind of left wanting a little more as the tournament goes on. I still do have three of my Final Four, though, but I lost my champion. I have Alabama, Texas, Gonzaga still remaining, but Purdue's out.
Good.
So I can still keep getting points here.
Yeah.
Right? But here's what happened. So I didn't really enter like lots of pools this year.
Yep.
But I did create a little one online just for me and my wife and my son. And I said, all three of us, we're just going to go against each other. First day, my wife has Virginia. Bam, out. I'm like, all right, Max, mom's out. She's got her champions out, just me and you.
Yep.
Next day, me, Purdue. Bam, out. Oh, my gosh, Max. Well, guess what, buddy? You still have your champion. Know who he had? Kansas. Bam, out.
Oh.
So now we're all in this boat where we're all out. But when I look at the actual like points total, here we go. Ready? Yana, 26 correct. Sal, 28 correct. Max, 31 correct. He has 5 more right than me.
Wow. Max crushing it.
I know. That's what happens in the tournament.
Does he get a prize? Is there an inter-house prize or pool for something?
He'll want one. He'll want one. I don't know. What does he have? He has Kansas winning it all.
He gets the
pick. He is down, though. He has Kansas and Purdue both in there. So, anyway.
He gets, like, restaurant of choice the next
time.
There
you go. No doubt about it. So, it's funny. Did you enter a lot of pools or?
I'm in three different ones. I do the same bracket in all three.
Okay.
I don't know if that's normal, but I do the same bracket in all three. And you will see me lose interest the moment my bracket is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Especially this late. I'll be into the early days of the tournament, but the only way I'm really that invested in the later rounds is if there's either one Cinderella team, right? Like Loyola Chicago a couple years ago made it really far. So that would get me there. Maybe that's Princeton this year. Although, how can you be plucky underdog Princeton? Like, usually not. They're not really seen as underdogs, except in sports, I guess. And then if my tournament, if my bracket is dead, you'll see me lose interest. But for now, I got Alabama, Houston, and UConn all still going really strong.
I love it.
Final four picks.
Should be fun. I wasn't able to stay up for the late game last night, Gonzaga. That was one I had to turn on and see. They were losing. And then I turned it on and said, all right, well, I woke up this morning and turned on the app to check the score. And they had advanced. So should be fun as we go forward here, the Sweet 16 this coming week.
Did you see the TCU cover last night?
No, I didn't. I saw the score. I didn't see what happened.
One of the worst bad beats
in
college basketball history. Gonzaga up 6 with 0.7 seconds to go. TCU, the guy lets the ball roll the full court because there's 0.7 seconds left. Nobody cares. He picks it up, at half court and just, you know, whatever, throws the ball from half court towards the hoop and makes it. They lose by three and cover the four-point spread. Gosh. One
that
of the worst
bad beats
ever.
As I like to point out, with every bad beat, there's a good win.
True.
Right? Like,
yes.
You thought you were going to lose, and then, oh my God, I covered!
Right, no, right, somebody won on that.
Somebody won on that. A lot of people probably did. I'll tell you who didn't win yesterday. Anybody who went to the Buffalo Sabres game that was not wearing black and gold.
Here. Yeah.
There were
a lot of people wearing black and gold, by the way.
Okay. Lots of frustration on my part, because, did you go? You didn't go.
No, I did not.
I usually see you at every game. I didn't see you. I did see Jeremy and Molly and the kids. They were there. Okay, so we walk in, and as you're walking in, you know how you see people walking into the arena and you can see the jerseys and all that?
Yep.
We're used to seeing a lot of out-of-town jerseys. That happens. I mean, it was just overflowing with Bruins fans, right? And I'm like, Max, there's going to be a lot of Bruins fans here today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe, it was...
I didn't think it was going to be that much.
It was awful. And this is not any... Like, don't sell your tickets, whatever. I don't care. I don't care how they got them, whatever. I don't blame people. You know, you go. These people bought tickets. They come here. It might be cheaper for people from Boston, literally, to get in their car, drive to Buffalo, New York, go to that game, and drive home than it would be to go to a game in Boston. It might be cheaper.
Yeah.
Especially good seats.
Yeah.
No, right?
If you're getting good seats, it probably would be cheaper.
So,
yeah.
That's not a point in that. What the frustration for me was... When I see that, I'm just like, okay, let's beat this team today. Let's have these people go home miserable. Like, I just came to this game in Buffalo. I know some of them live here.
Yeah.
I just came to this game, and I'm going home miserable. And right away, 15 seconds in, they're taking over. It's loud, the arena. And it just never ended. It never ended. Not one thing to cheer for other than maybe a Dylan Cousins fight where he was winning the most of it and then got a shot in against him at the end. But nothing really to cheer for the whole game. The goal horn doesn't go off. I've got my son, but I'm seeing kids everywhere. I don't think it was a kids' day game, but there's kids. There was a guy and his wife next to me that their daughter first ever game. She's got the certificate.
Yeah.
I got kids down here on my left and on my right. I got kids in front of me eating their candy and all that. It's awesome. Not one goal horn to even celebrate. It was so frustrating being in that building yesterday.
It's probably a lot like what I dealt with when I was in that arena against Toronto.
Yes.
They were when O'Reilly scored like a minute in and then another minute in and then another. It was like 4-1, 4-0 in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Same thing, right? Like buildings being taken over. What you want, I've been on the other side of that. And the other side of that is when I went to the Titans game, the Bills-Titans game, 2 years ago. Is that 2 years ago now? Yeah, 2 years ago. And there were a ton of Bills fans. And what happened at the end of the game? Me and my friends are walking down the ramp to leave the game, and what do you hear? You got Titans fans, you know, shouting from behind you, go home!
Yep.
Go back to Buffalo! You want to be able to do that, but instead, it's like, just boom, 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 over. And part of that is, you know, the Sabres just don't win at home. So you don't have a very good chance at getting that feeling this year because they don't win at home.
And then, after the game, I did not catch this until someone pointed it out. So I went back and listened this morning. Did you listen to Don Granato's post game?
No, I did not.
Okay. Don Granato is talking in his post game, and I'm not down there enough. I've been down there a few times for post game press conferences to know kind of the room where they are. Joe, we don't need to play this, but I'm telling you, Don Granato is speaking to the media after a 7-0 loss, and all I can hear, and someone pointed this out to me, like, oh my God, did you hear this? So I had to go back and listen to see.
Yeah.
All I can hear is what I'm assuming to be Boston Bruins players and coaches laughing behind the next wall, brutal. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe there were other people who worked there down there. Something was going on. It was a party. I don't know. But it sounded like, through the wall, it was just a Boston Bruins team in some capacity having a party in the locker room and laughing, basically. Not laughing at the Sabres, per se, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just a joyous, joyous time. As Don Granato's trying to explain away a 7-0 loss, by the way, this is all over his post-game audio. It's unbelievable.
They're just partying in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they've... That's the soundtrack of the last 10 years, isn't it? A Sabres coach explaining away a brutal defeat while the Boston Bruins are in the background enjoying themselves. I mean, that's been a decade. Ever since we talked about last hour that it's been 12 years since Milan Lucic ran over Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
Is it maybe it's a little bit before that. But that's like the moment where we all think of like, okay, from since then, they have been this class organization, like the peak of hockey in the last 10 years, sustained winning throughout, never bad, and the Sabres have just been the complete opposite. And like last night, you thought this might be the year where things started to change, and it has for the Sabres. Boston, it hasn't, right? Boston's on pace to set the NHL record for wins.
We were on our way out, and there was a guy wearing a Bruins jersey, looked at us, and he goes, ah, maybe next year with you guys, right? And he was just having fun with us. And I looked at him, an older gentleman, wearing a Bobby Orr jersey, and I said,
okay,
one of these years, you guys are going to age out. And I stopped, and I go, but I've been telling myself that for a long time, and he just laughed.
Yeah. Bergeron will age out. Marchand will age out. It's part of why you want to see some aggression, right? You can't just wait around and
right.
for teams to get bad because
right.
sometimes,
that's a great point.
Sometimes it will happen, right? Chicago, they got bad. They aged out and they got bad.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But Boston has aged out. People forget this. They've already aged out. Chara aged out. Lucic aged out. Krejci even. I know he's still on the team, but he's not the same impact player he used to be. Krejci
didn't play
aged
yesterday
out.
Either, by the way.
Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask. Both aged out. Mm-hmm. Boston has done a great job at just, we're going to hit the refresh button. Yeah, Bergeron's still there. Marchand's still there.
How is that and why is that? I mean, Neely runs the team now. And
they hit on Pastrnak.
Is that just...
They hit on Pastrnak.
Yep.
They hit on Charlie McAvoy. They hit on Linus Ullmark. I mean, there are other examples too, but that's at least one player at each position where they're, boom, elite player that they just brought in to replace guys that went out. And that's why, like, again, like Pittsburgh, I think you can assume they're going to age out. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is not doing a good job of setting themselves up for post-Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They're going to get bad really
Washington's
quickly.
Also going to do the same thing.
Same thing.
We know that. I didn't realize Oshie was like 33 now as well, by the way.
36, I think.
What?
Yeah, he's
okay,
really
Okay, there
old.
You go. That's my point, yeah.
I am not assuming Boston's going to get bad. I think the Bruins, the moves they've made, some of the young pieces they've had, I am not assuming they're going to get bad when Marchand and Bergeron are gone, like I would with the Penguins and the Capitals.
And
which means you can't always just wait around.
Right.
Sometimes you got to push the envelope a little bit, and you got to catch them, not wait for them to fall back to you.
And part of that is making a move, let's say, at the trade deadline. I've heard a lot of, and you have, people have said, well, this is why you should have made more moves. This is why you shouldn't have sat on your hands. Let me ask you this. Whether it's Chychrun or some other move out there, is there anything they could have done, Joe, really, that would put them in a better spot than they are now, and maybe another win? I don't know, but
probably
they're not going to make the playoffs at this point. I think we're all kind of
correct.
Yes, mathematically they're alive. I get it, and who knows? You go on a 10-game win streak, right? Great. I hope that happens. They're not going to make the playoffs. But let's go back to trade deadline week. Let's go back to the couple weeks before that. They bring Stillman in a little before that.
Yeah.
For anybody who says, and I want to give this room and give this thought because maybe they're right. For anybody who says, well, that's why you should have done more at the deadline. Is there anything they really could have done that could have, by this point, completely altered where they are and let us be saying today, you know what? They're right in this thing, man. They're one game in hand, two points out.
Honestly, no.
No, I don't think so.
Honestly, no. The move, the one move we talked about forever that I still think would fit this team perfectly was Jacob Chychrun. You know what Ottawa's done the last five games? Ottawa, with Jacob Chychrun, they went on a little bit of a win streak when he first got there. The last five games, Ottawa's lost all five. 1 point out of a possible 10. And in those five games, they've given up 5-5-6, 5-5. Five goals in every game, except for one, they gave up six. That's Chychrun. Ottawa is the team, actually, that did push the envelope. They went pretty close to all in, right? They traded a first-round pick for DeBrincat. They signed Claude Giroux. Then they doubled down on it, and they traded for Chychrun. hasn't worked for them. So it's not always going to work the other way. I think the answer to your question is no. Had they traded for Chychrun, they'd probably be in the exact same spot, or they'd be a little bit above, like one more win. Maybe they beat the Islanders, and they get that win. But I think it's got to come. It's got to come in an off season. A trade deadline, even if it's a big move, it's usually one big move, which is still pretty much tinkering with your roster.
Right.
I think I don't overhaul is the wrong word. The plan for next season is when when they exit this year and they start to build for next year, that's when you do your work. That's when you do your damage. And goalie, they'll have to figure out. Some depth pieces they'll have to figure out. Yeah, they'll get internal growth from a bunch of places. But for this season, no. I don't think there was anything they could have done that... Sans a goalie move that didn't happen anywhere. Like if they somehow dragged UC Saros out of Nashville, that would have done it. But there was no move that someone did at the deadline where I would have said, oh yeah, if the Sabres did that, they'd be in the playoffs.
I mean, I know there's a lot of things that go into the negotiating part of it, and maybe the agent said, well, he's got to be in the NHL. I get all that, but you know me, I was kind of dead set against
Levi
being here, other than if they're totally out of it. Right? Like, totally out of it. Yep. We're getting to that point now. It seemed like, though, even if they were totally in it, he would be starting sometime coming up soon. At this point, though,
yeah.
At this point, honestly, Joe, could they get worse in the spot anyway? Right? Like
no.
Why not? Even if they were very close to a playoff spot, I might push for, okay, you got to put Anderson in. He's got the experience here. I don't know if I want UPL. But honestly, at this point, I'm like, what do you really have to lose? The only thing you might be able to lose is this kid getting his confidence crushed if all of a sudden he gets out there and they leave him out to dry and he gives up 5-6 goals in his first couple of games each or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the thing you might lose, but other than that, yeah. I don't think you can get much worse than what you've been doing anyway, so you might as well try it.
No, right. They've given up, I mean, two of the last three home games, they've given up 7-10, and the goalie didn't even get pulled in either game. Right. You could lose confidence, you could lose something like that, but... Man, like, is that not happening with Lukanen then right now? If we're so right. worried about confidence, he's 23 years old. He's still yep. young and developing. You can make an argument he still shouldn't have appeared in the NHL because goalies take time. And has Lukanen done anything to prove that he's in the NHL or that he's an NHL goaltender other than because of circumstance, because of who the guys were in front of him, that he had an open door to get there? So you could lose that with Levi. But, no, yeah, the bar is super low. He'll give you at least the same that what Lukanen and Comrie especially have been giving you. I think, you know, now that you're kind of out of it, it's finding out season, right? Like, it, mm-hmm. bring some guys up and let's see how close they are to NHL level as you continue to get out further out of the playoff picture. And Levi, like, if he is dead set on, I want to be in the NHL, I don't know what they might have agreed upon, what they might have talked about when they convinced him to sign here. But clearly for this point in time, it's he's going to be in the NHL, not in the AHL. What I would wonder, how far does that extend? Have they given him some assurance that, not even that you're going to be in the NHL next year, but if you show up, you have a good preseason and a good training camp, we're going to put you in the NHL. And these however many games he plays the rest of this season will factor into that. That's really what I wonder. How much now is this season about you're trying to figure out if Devon Levi can be one of your two goaltenders next year? Because the playoff race is almost over.
It has to be almost all about that at this point.
Exactly. Now the rest of the year, these last 13 games, I think the number one thing to look for is Levi proving one way or the other that he is either ready for the NHL next year or he's not. And if he starts to prove that he is, they're going to have a super interesting decision to make in net for a season next year that has to be playoffs. And you're going to have to decide, if Levi's ready to go, am I going in with two young goalies that are unproven when I have to make the playoffs?
That's when you make a summer possible deal with UPL. Like, that could happen if Levi proves himself that he could. But yeah, that's right. Maybe they figure he's also going to take that next jump for him. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Paul's going to join us in about 10 minutes. 10:30. And then Eric Galco from the Shrine Bowl, Optimum Scouting. It's going to be really cool. We'll talk about prospects for the NFL draft because we're kind of transitioning from free agency to the draft here over the next week or so. Let's go to Bob in a car who starts us off here on the Extra Point Show. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. So I've got the game on the TV cranked up, but I'm in the other room, and I hear the crowd erupt. And I think, oh, the Sabres scored already. And then I say to myself, no, there's no goal horn. I've never seen the arena like that except for a Toronto game. I don't know how that happened or why that happened, but I was stunned the whole game with the amount of Bruins fans that were there. Just hard to explain. The other thing, Sal, the post game by the coach, I was mortified because I wasn't sure where that ruckus was coming from. I feared that it was coming from the Sabres locker room.
I don't think so. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
I would be shocked, but I think where he does the presser is closer to our locker room than the visiting locker room.
Probably right. I have to get with Paul. I'm going to ask Paul about that when he comes on because I don't want to speak on. I've been down there in the layout, but I don't know. I think you could probably, even if it's not close, I don't know if it's thick enough to block out that sound. It might have been people walking into their locker room. But before I speak on it, I'll ask Paul. But you heard it, right, Bob? You heard it too.
Oh, my God. I was sitting there listening and saying, as I said, God, I hope that's not the Sabres locker room.
No. Yeah, I can imagine. Thanks, Bob. We'll get more clarification on that from Paul when he comes on. Let's get to Richard in Rochester. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Hey, thanks for the call. Really enjoy hearing you guys. We're talking about the chemistry. And, you know, 3 weeks ago they brought in Jordan Greenway. And they've inserted him into different lines, moved things around. And it just seems like our chemistry has been off these 3 weeks. And I don't want to pin it on him or trying things. But it just seems like we're not playing as fluid as what we were prior to that or since then.
No, I mean, they have not looked as good. I don't know, same as you, I want to pin it all on him. But I will say they are clearly trying to find a spot in the lineup in which he is playing, that he plays well and that he meshes. And they're still trying to find that, right? He started on the top line yesterday with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch, and very quickly Jeff Skinner got put back up on that line. They've moved Greenway all around, and I'm not saying they won't find a combination, but yeah, they have not yet. And I mean, it's a little bit of a factor. It's not, you know, it's not deterring them from scoring goals. I mean, Thompson has not played a ton with Greenway. He hasn't scored in 8 games. You know, there are guys going through some droughts right now, but yeah, Greenway's interesting because he was an exciting idea. I liked it. And I don't think they're getting much of anything in terms of results right now from him.
Yeah, so the question is on the rubric is when you get a group of young people that are really meshing well together, you know, can you know, and you were talking about doing it off season rather than in season. That's when you think the big change is going to occur. So during the season, we had these guys kind of gelling. And then we disrupt it. And do they have the capacity to withstand these kind of changes versus, you know, a veteran team that could absorb that kind of change?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Richard. I don't know. I feel like lineup changes, a lot of it's just excuse making. That it can matter a little bit, but this team, it has flaws. It's not chemistry as much as it is just this team has some flaws. They're super young. They do not play well defensively. And they don't have a goalie that can bail them out when they don't score. I think all of those things matter more than, yeah, the chemistry being affected a little bit in the last couple of weeks. I'm not saying that doesn't matter at all, but I think it's a little bit. It's down the list as to why this season has gotten away from them to where they're like, they're like 2% now to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, criticism yesterday of like Jost not being in the lineup, but I agree with Don Granato when he says that. Well, I got to take somebody out, right? And like it's you're always going to have room to criticize who I take out, basically. Right. And he said Olsen scored a couple goals, right? I mean, like Hinnestroza gave him energy. Like, there's always room for that. It's the same thing we get with the Bills. Well, how come this guy's not playing? And there's always rightful criticism for it. But there are decisions you have to make, and it's not always going to work out. And if it doesn't, you're going to have room to say even more so, why did you do that? So I agree. More so, though, was Skinner not on the top line yesterday? And
at the start.
Okay, but he did go
but
in,
he did
right?
go back. He went did, back okay. on it. Greenway, they started on the top right. line. It didn't look good, and then they put Skinner back up there.
Right. I mean, that's the... Again, to me, it's the same thing with line shuffling. I'd like to see certain guys together, but at the same time, I think in hockey, you just move guys around sometimes. That's what you do, and you have to try and figure out something else. And it didn't go right in the beginning. It, by the way, didn't go right after they made the change, obviously. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton joins us next. We'll get more to the Sabres' 7-0 loss to the Bruins and what it means going forward, and Devin Levi and his update and what could be happening with him coming into this week as the Sabres have a game tomorrow night against the Nashville Predators.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.